Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise God and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. Apostle Emmett Overton here, Evangelist Janice Taylor. God will get you on track. I want to say that God is moving very fast. These are some very, very bad times we're living in. We have Christians classifying themselves as Republicans. Not even Jesus said, be ye holy. He didn't say be Republican or be Democrat. He said, be ye holy. I am independent. I don't get involved with that mess. I fight racism, which is a spirit. But some of you Christians are just pathetic in your belief systems, in your walk with God, in your fellowship with God. Without further ado, Evangelist Janice Taylor.
Well, praise the Lord, saints of God. It's so good to be back with you on tonight. I look forward to Thursday night being with the saints of God on Fellowship of Deliverance with Apostle Emmett Overton. I count it an honor that he even allows me this time to be with you all. So I want to thank God first before we even get started. I just want to thank God. My husband today had a procedure. And everything came back well, and he is well. God took him safely to the procedure, brought him through the procedure, and brought him back home, and he is here. He is well. And I got to give God some praise for that, because can't nobody do it but the Lord. Doctors can't do it. Medicine can't do it. Although he does sometimes use doctors and medicine. Some are trusting in horses and some are trusting in chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord. This is Evangelist Janet Taylor tonight coming to you from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministries International, www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com, P.O. Box, Post Office Box, 1148. Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. That's our mailing address. If you want to send, sow a seed into this ministry, that's our mailing address. Post Office Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. If you want to PayPal us a seed, you can. The number is 336-575-0206 or JET245@msn.com. We are so delighted to be with you all on tonight. And I just want to leave a word of encouragement with you. So many people have been going through so many attacks from the enemy. I mean, Christians have really just been under heavy attack. The enemy knows that his time is short, so he's turned up the dial, but we are not moved by anything that he is doing or saying, any lies that he's telling. We're not moved by that, because we are the people of God who walk by faith and not by sight. Glory be to God. The scripture says the just shall live by his faith. So tonight's message is God will get you back on track. And those of you that have your Bibles, let's look at 2 Timothy 1:9. And it says, who have saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. I want you to focus on that word, before. And then we know that Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, I want to start this message with just by encouraging the people of God, because you need to know that sometimes the enemy tries to discourage us by making us think that, you know, we've gotten too old, or we have not fulfilled our destiny. We don't have much time left. I'm talking about as individuals. I'm not talking about the body of Christ. because we don't have much time left. But the enemy will try to torment God's people from time to time and make you think you haven't fulfilled your divine destiny and that, you know, it's over. It's time. You've passed, too much time has passed, and we still didn't accomplish anything for God. But we must always remember that Satan is a liar. I'm going to say that again. We must never forget that the devil is a liar. And the scripture says he is the father of lies. And so I'm saying to you tonight that maybe you made a wrong turn somewhere. We all have. All of us have gotten off track at some time or another. But what we have to remember is that God, who is all wise, is able to take it all, the good, the bad, and the ugly, and make it all work together for our good and for his glory. You see, nothing catches God by surprise. God knows how to get you back on track. Maybe you made a pit stop in the wrong place. And I'll tell you something about sin. Sin will always take you further than you wanted to go and make you stay longer than you intended to stay. But God is ever merciful. His mercies are new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Now, I'm not trying to give anybody a license to sin, but if you do sin, remember what the word of God says. He said that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we don't have to wallow in our mistakes. If you fall, you don't have to stay down. If you make a wrong turn, if you get into something that you didn't plan to, all you have to do is repent and get back on track. Our God knows how to get us back on track. And sometimes God will allow things in our life to get us back on track. So we have to thank God for being all wise, because he who is all wise knows how to get us back on track. He will use it all to fill his plan and his purpose for your life. You see, as long as you're still breathing, God is still working. You still got a chance. Glory be to God. God's got you. And I need you to know that tonight. I need you to know that you are right where you're supposed to be. You know, I remember somebody told me one time, evangelist, you're supposed to be further than where you are. And I said, by whose standards? You see, people, that was the voice of the enemy. God called me to be an evangelist, and I have to stay that until God elevates me. So many times, people make the mistake of letting people pump their head up and tell them, you're supposed to be this, and you're supposed to be that. You're supposed to be what God has called and ordained you to be, not what man says you are to be. So many people went ahead of God because somebody told them they could prophesy. Somebody told them they could preach. Somebody told them they were an apostle. I had somebody tell me that, told me I might want to join with their ministry because maybe I could be an apostle. I didn't hear God say that. And so I was not tempted by that. That didn't impress me at all that they were telling me that I could be an apostle. You see, I know that I know that I know that God didn't call me to be an apostle. You have to stay in your lane and be found faithful doing that which God called you to do. And the Bible said promotion doesn't come from the east nor from the west. Promotion comes from God. So we have to wait on our calling, wait on the Lord. It says, wait on the Lord and be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. God will elevate us. He said, if we faint not, he will elevate us. He will promote us. He will bless us in due season. But too many times we try to get out there and run ahead of God. And you know, there's so much competition in the body of Christ. There's so many preachers actually competing against one another. And this should not be, because first of all, we're on the same team. We preach in the gospel of Jesus Christ that saves. It's not my gospel. It's not in my eloquence of speech. It's not in my education. It's not in my ability to articulate something. What it is in the power of God. For the scripture says, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. So we have to wait and depend upon the moving of the Holy Spirit. You know, God will use everything that you have been through in your life. Glory be to God. Nothing is ever wasted in the kingdom of God. You say, how do you know that, Evangelist? Do you remember when Jesus fed the 5,000 and with the two fishes and the five loaves? And then when everybody had eaten, and there were over 5,000 men there. That didn't even count the women and the children. When they were finished eating, Jesus told them to take up the fragment. Good God Almighty. He said, take up the fragment. You know, the broken pieces of fish and the broken pieces of bread. And the Bible says when the disciples collected them, there were 12 baskets full. You see, nothing is ever wasted in the kingdom. Your brokenness, the things that you have gone through, your hurt, your pain, your shame, all of that, God will use it if you allow him to. If you just wait on God, he'll work it all together for your good, but for his namesake and for his glory. I thank and praise God. You know, I haven't always been saved. For more than 13 years of my life, I was addicted to crack cocaine. I was a prostitute in the street. I was in and out of jail, in and out of prison. I've been raped repeatedly. I've been beaten down by men. I was even once stabbed and left for dead in an alley. I lost custody of my children. I couldn't see how anything good could come out of that. I hit rock bottom. But let me tell you about the almighty, all-wise God that he served, that we served. He knew when I was broken. He actually allowed me to go all the way deep into sin until I was broken. Glory be to God. But God is too wise to make a mistake. He doesn't make any junk. So he did not throw me away. He said, I can fix her and I can use her. Glory be to God. And so you don't have to be discouraged about where you are today. Glory be to God. All you got to do is submit, surrender to the will of God. Let God have his way. Quit trying to do it your way and let God be God. Because I tell you, he knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. And God will take it all. He knows how to get you to your divine destiny. He will take it all, everything that you have been through, to fulfill his plan and his purpose for your life. God's going to get the glory out of it. You see, God will take that which is broken, that which is lame, that which is weak. God don't go to the experts. He didn't go to the people of excellence. He went to those that were broken, bruised, battered, worn, and God took them. He specializes in taking nothing and making something. The word of God tells us in 1 Corinthians, thank you, Jesus, in 1 Corinthians 1, hallelujah, it tells us how, for you see your calling, glory be to God, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty and base things. I don't know about you, but I was a base thing of the world. And things which are despised have God chosen. Yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Hallelujah. I thank and praise God for being God. Hallelujah. He took one look at me, glory be to God. I was messed up, jacked up, tore up from the flow up. But God said, I don't have to throw her away. I can fix her. I can use her. And then I can be glorified in her life. And that is exactly what my Father has done. He is using me today for his name's sake. You see, I'm not building up my name. I'm building up the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous can run in, and they are saved. Hallelujah. I thank you today, Father, for allowing me to even be on this broadcast tonight and to be with the people of God to encourage them. And the word for somebody tonight is that God knows how to get you back on track. The scripture tells us in Philippians 1:6, he who have begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. God is not finished with you yet. Glory be to God. You may have made some mistakes. You may have stumbled and failed. You know, if you were anything like me, you walked in rebellion, stubborn, and stiff-necked. Glory be to God. But none of that moves God. Hallelujah. I thank you. I thank you, Father. None of that moves God. Let's look at the life of the Apostle Paul. Hallelujah. We know that the Apostle Paul, he was actually killing Christians and putting them in prison for being Christians. Glory be to God. But then Paul, he met the man named Jesus. Hallelujah. He had a divine encounter with him on the road to Damascus. Let's read it from the scripture, Acts 9. And the word of the Lord says, Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogue, that if he found any of this way, talking about Christians, if he found any that was serving the Lord, hallelujah, whether they were men or women, he didn't care. He would bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly, good God Almighty, that's what I'm talking about. God, he will interrupt your life. He will tell you this program has been interrupted. Glory be to God. And suddenly, there shined round about him a light from heaven, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? You see, when Saul saw this great light, it blinded him, but he also heard a voice. Now, there were men with him. They didn't hear what Saul heard. They heard thunder and lightning, but Saul actually heard the voice of the Lord. It amazes me how people say, I ain't never heard God talk. Why you hear God talk? I hear God talk because I talk to him and he talks to me, and he'll talk to whomever he will. And so Saul heard, he not only saw this bright light that blinded him, but he also heard the voice of the Lord. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? You see, that's where he surrendered. Saul was one way when he left home, but on the road to Damascus, God, he met Jesus. Hallelujah. He had a divine encounter with the Lord Jesus. And when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Glory be to God. And so Saul, he asked the question, Lord, what will you have me to do? That was humble submission. Saul realized at that very moment he was just a man, and he realized that even though he was a man in authority, he had permission from the synagogue. He had permission from the high priest to put anybody in prison that was in the Christian faith. But Saul realized he had come in contact with the highest authority. He had met Jesus, glory be to God, and he realized there was nothing that he could do but surrender. Saul threw up his hands, good God Almighty, and he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, God told him just what to do, and he did it. Glory be to God. And the seventh verse said, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You see, sometimes God know how to put a message in a bottle. He know how to get to you. He know how to speak to you. He'll call your name. Glory be to God. And that's what he did. He said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou? Glory be to God. Why persecutest thou me? Hallelujah. So God will use it all. He will use the good, the bad, and the ugly to get you to your divine destiny. God's got you, and he knows what he is doing. Let's ask Jonah. Jonah was a servant of the Lord, and Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh and preach the gospel to Nineveh. He was really sent there to preach against Nineveh, but he had to preach Jesus. He had to preach about the Lord and preach about salvation. So because Nineveh was wicked and God was getting ready to destroy Nineveh, but God sent the word first, glory be to God. So Jonah, instead of doing what God said, Jonah got on a boat and he decided, oh, I don't want to do what God said. I'm going another way. He got on a boat and there arose a storm, and the storm was so bad, the men that were on the boat feared for their life. Glory be to God. And Jonah knew that the storm, the sea was raging on account of him. Glory be to God. And so Jonah jumped overboard to spare those men their life. And Jonah ended up in the belly of a whale. A whale swallowed him. He was there in the belly of a whale for 3 days and three nights. And I can imagine that Jonah saw the whale's ribs, and it looked like to him Jonah was in prison. Glory be to God. Those ribs looked like prison bars. Glory be to God. But Jonah repented. Hallelujah. And that's what I'm talking about tonight. If you repent, hallelujah, God can still use you. If you confess your sins, if you turn from your wicked ways, the Bible says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, he said, then I will hear from heaven. I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. That's 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Glory be to God. That's God. That's what God is waiting for. He's waiting for you to repent. He's waiting for you to turn from your wicked ways. He's waiting for you to seek his face. Cry out to the Lord. Say, God, I have sinned. I have messed up. I made a wrong turn. I thought this was the way I was supposed to go. Or, God, I went this way on my own, but this wasn't the right way. And I've made a mistake. I've messed up. But, God, I read in your word that you are a God of mercy and a God of great grace, for your mercy endure forever and your compassion, they fail not. Great is thy faithfulness, O Lord. Hallelujah. If you will confess your sins and repent of them, turning from them, glory be to God. He has promised to forgive you and to heal you. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. And so we thank the Lord. You see, it is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of God. We have to repent and acknowledge that he is God, not us, that he is God. Glory be to God. He alone is worthy to be praised. And if we would humble ourselves and get at his feet, glory be to God, God will work a work in your life. He will get you back on track. Glory be to God. You know, let's go. Oh, my God, I am feeling the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's go down to the potter's house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the word of the Lord, this is Jeremiah 18, and the word of the Lord says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel that he made of clay was marred in his hand, and in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. Glory be to God. You see, the potter had made a vessel, and the Bible said that the vessel was marred in the potter's hand. I want to encourage you tonight. You may have messed up, glory be to God, but you're still in his hand. You're still in the potter's hand, glory be to God. If you have the godly sorrow and the repentance, you are still in his hand, glory be to God. And God will get you back on track. And so what God did, the Lord was working a work on the wheel, and the vessel that he made of clay, it was marred. Glory be to God. All of us have a past. Nobody can talk about nobody in the body of Christ, because God has saved and delivered us all from something. Glory be to God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Hallelujah. And the scripture says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So we all have some type of past. Glory be to God. But the Bible said that the vessel that he made of clay was marred. Hallelujah. It was messed up. It was imperfect. Glory be to God. It was ruined. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. But the vessel was in the potter's hand. It was still in the potter's hand. And I want to encourage somebody tonight. As long as you are still in the potter's hand, God can still work a work. Glory be to God. God knows how to get you back on track. Hallelujah. As long as you're still in his hand, glory be to God in the highest. He can still, hallelujah, fix you. The fixer is in the house. God don't have to throw you away. He can fix you, and he can use you, and he can get some glory out of your life. Glory be to God in the highest. And the Bible says that the vessel that he made was marred, so he made it again, another vessel. I give God praise. That's what he did in my life. He didn't throw me away, but he put me back on the wheel and made me again, another vessel. Somebody ought to give God some praise. Somebody ought to bless his name. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Jesus. Time and time and time again, we have sinned against the Lord. We have said things that we shouldn't have said. We have done things that we shouldn't have done. We have thought things that we shouldn't have thought. But God didn't throw us away. He put us back on the wheel and made us again another vessel. Glory be to God. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. And the scripture said that then the word of the Lord came and said, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as with this potter. He said, behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand. And that's what I want to encourage you with tonight. As the clay was in the potter's hand, so are you in God's hand. And God knows how to get you back on track. Sometimes God will even allow things. Glory be to God in your life. He will allow things that will get you back on track. You remember David? When David sinned with Bathsheba, God allowed it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And David saw this woman, and he stood there, and he watched her bathing. And then he inquired, whose wife was she? He knew she was somebody's wife. She was a beautiful woman. And then David told his servant not only to inquire who she was, but to bring her to him. And had her husband killed, put him on the front line in battle, in the heat of the battle, had Uriah killed, impregnated Bathsheba, and then he was in a mess, and God allowed all of this. Glory be to God. And then God sent the prophet Nathan to him, and Nathan told him a parable about a man that had a one sheep, and he said that he had a visitor to come, and the visitor, he prepared the neighbor's one sheep. Now, he had plenty of sheep, but he prepared the neighbor's sheep for the visitor. And David said that whoever had done such a thing should be put to death. And Nathan said, thou art the man, and conviction came upon you. You see, even though David sinned against God, he was still in God's hand. But David wrote the 51st Psalm, and he said, have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy. Somebody needs to pray this prayer tonight. Somebody is walking in a place, and you think that God has abandoned you. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. What it is, you departed from the Lord. Hallelujah. But God knows how to get you back on track. And he said, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. You see, David began to confess his sin, and he poured out his heart to God. Hallelujah. He didn't try to run and hide no more. He came clean with God. And I tell you tonight, if you'll come clean with God, God will work a work in your life. God will, he will forgive you. He will restore you. But many times we try to hide our sin. We try to act like we ain't done nothing or we didn't say nothing. Even just sometimes it's a wrong attitude that we have. And we try to act like, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do. But you got to come clean. God, I didn't have the right attitude. Create in me, oh God, a clean heart. And so David acknowledged his sin. He said, I acknowledge my transgression, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. You see, that's what iniquity is. It's jealousy. It's evil. It's envy. It's backbiting. It's gossip. It's all those hidden sins. Things that you think can't nobody else see, but God, who has the all-seeing eyes of God, he can see, and the all-hearing ears of God, he can hear. Glory be to God. He knows what's in our heart. That's why the psalmist says, search me, O God, shine the light on me, and see if there be any wicked way in me. He said, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part, and in the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me, O God, a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. And then David said something that literally broke my very heart. He said, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David said, you can take the kingdom. You can take Bathsheba. You can take the child. You can take all the gold. You can take all the silver. But Lord, whatever you do, don't take your spirit from me, because David knew he could not live without God. You see, this is true repentance. This is true repentance. And then David said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me, O God, from blood guiltiness. O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. And finally, David got on down to the 17th verse, and he said, the 16th verse, he said, thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. So many times we want to give God something other than what he is asking for. We want to give God the money. We want to give God our talent. We want to give, but God wants you. He wants your heart. He wants us to come clean with him. Glory be to God. Thou didst not desire sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Oh, I remember the day that I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I had a broken spirit and a contrite heart. I was broken. I was in the basement of the Forsyth County Jail. I was folding sheets and towels, doing the jail's laundry. And we had opportunity to listen to the radio station of our choice for 1 hour each. There were six women down there doing that jail's laundry. And so one girl, she went first. She wanted to hear the country and western. So I had to listen to country and western music for a whole hour. But then I called second, and I said, put it on the gospel station. I wanted to hear Christian music. And let me tell you something. I wasn't a Christian, but I knew I needed the Lord. And the very first song that came on that radio station was a song by the Dallas-Fort Worth Mass Choir. And the words to that song broke me. It said, forgive me, clean me up, and give me another chance. It said, I'm sorry. That was the first word. Forgive me, clean me up, and give me another chance. And I began to cry. I began to weep, because that song brought conviction. The Holy Spirit used that song to bring conviction. Those words epitomized what was in my heart. And I began to apologize to God. And I put the sheets and towels down and walked over to that radio. And it was me and God. I was in having a divine encounter with the Lord. And God, he was listening, but I was pouring out my heart to him. I was letting him know, God, I'm sorry for the life that I have lived. I'm sorry that I've been on drugs. I knew better than that. I'm sorry that I became a prostitute selling my body. I knew that that was not the will of God for my life. And I told God, I'm sorry that I've almost completely ruined this gift of life that you have given me. But I said to the Lord, if you will save me, I will serve you till I die. I said, God, don't let me die and go to hell, because I knew some parts of the Bible. I didn't know all of it, but I knew about heaven and hell. And I knew the only way to get to heaven was by serving God. And I asked God, I said, give me one more chance. I didn't want to go back to prison. I had been to prison twice, and I didn't want to be a three-time loser. And I said, but I wasn't more so concerned about prison. I was concerned about my soul. I said, Lord, don't let me die and go to hell. And I asked God to clean me up, forgive me, and give me one more chance. And I said, God, if you will save me, I will serve you till I die. And I'm going to tell you something. I was crying from the depths of my heart. I had never had a conversation like that with God in my life. And I poured out my heart to God, and God heard me. And there was an officer at the jail who, we were in the basement, and he came from the basement of the, first floor of the jail down into the basement. And he heard me making all this commotion. And he said, what in the world is going on down here? And the women that were doing the laundry told him, leave her alone. She's just talking to God. And that man turned around and went back up those stairs. And even though he was a man of authority, he realized there was a higher authority in that room. And he didn't mess with me. And so when I was finished, when everything was over, then, you know, we had to go back to our cell blocks and everything. And what happened was, those same women, they went back to their cell block and told what had happened to me down in that jail. They told about my divine encounter with the Lord. But they didn't believe it was real. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back on crack. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back prostituting. They said, we give her 2 weeks and she'll be back in jail. And they bet against me. But praise be unto God. It has been 28 years, and God has kept me every step of the way. I can't say that it's all been easy. I can't say that it was a bed of roses, but I will say this. God has been faithful. He kept me. He preserved me. He taught me. There were times he even had to carry me. People came against me, my own family. They didn't even believe that God could save me. Different ones said there ain't no hope for her. But they didn't know he is Jesus, is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I give God praise. I give God praise. So I'm talking to somebody tonight who's listening to the sound of my voice. You're in a situation and you feel like that you've messed up so bad that there's nothing you can do. But I'm here to let you know tonight that the God that I serve, hallelujah, there's nothing too hard for him. He knows how to get you back on track. So let's look at, we see that David, God got him back on track. And I've never read in the scripture again where David ever committed the sin of adultery again. He made some other mistakes, but he never, ever committed adultery again. You see, David, the Bible says this about David. The scripture says that David was a man after God's own heart. That's what I'm talking about tonight. God knows your heart. Now, a lot of people use that as an excuse to sin. They say, well, God knows my heart. But that's not a license to sin. That is not a license to sin. What that means is that God is merciful. He is ever merciful. And that is why he doesn't destroy us as easily as we think some people ought to be destroyed. God give us so many chances. Why? Because it is not his will that any should perish. Glory be to God. He loves us. And that's why he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross in our place to redeem us and to restore us back to right relationship with him. Glory be to God. So we see that Jonah had a divine encounter with the Lord. God got Jonah back on track. God got David back on track. Well, let's look at Joseph. Glory be to God. Joseph had to make a pit stop to the pit then the prison, before he was promoted to the palace. You see, Joseph had these brothers that hated him because Joseph had a gift. He was a dreamer, and God would show him things in dreams. You know, God shows me things in dreams, but I have found that in this day and time, there's not many people you can share these dreams with because, first of all, they don't believe in that. They don't believe that God still communicates through dreams and visions. Matter of fact, there are some people that don't even believe that God is still talking to people. When you say, I heard the Lord say, all of them not telling the truth, but for the ones that are telling the truth, when we say that, then they begin to try to discredit you. They say God doesn't speak in an audible voice anymore, that he only speaks through his word. Well, I beg to differ with them because I have heard the voice of the Lord on many occasions, and I also hear what he's saying through his word. Glory be to God. And God is God. He'll do it however he wants to do it. Like I said, he knows how to put a message in a bottle. If God want to get a message to you, he'll put it in a bottle if he need to. So Joseph's brothers hated him, and his father had made him a coat of many colors, and they were envious of that. And his father, he loved him. Jacob loved his son. He loved Joseph because Joseph was his son of his old age. And so what happened was Jacob sent Joseph to go and check on his brothers one day to see how they were doing. And they devised a plan. They hated him so much they wanted to kill him. So they captured him. They tore up his coat of many colors, and they threw him in a pit. And while they were trying to figure out what they were going to do with him, they actually planned to kill him. But the oldest brother said, no, let's don't kill him, for he is our brother. So they killed an animal and put blood on his coat, and they sold him to a group of Ishmaelites that were coming along the way. And so the father, they took the father the coat and said, our brother has been killed. And this broke Jacob's heart, and he thought he would never see his son again. So this band, they sold him to a band of Ishmaelites, and then they sold him over into Egypt. And he ended up in the house of Potiphar. And he was prospering in the house of Potiphar so well. You see, when the hand of God is on you, you will walk in favor and the anointing. And the anointing destroys the yoke. And so he was there in Potiphar's house, and he was doing so well that Potiphar didn't even know how much he had. He had entrusted everything to Joseph. Well, Potiphar's wife, she desired him. She lusted for him, and she wanted to have him. But he was such a man of God, he said that I cannot do this evil against God. He didn't say not against Potiphar. He said against God, because he knew that God was his God, and God was watching over him. See, so many times people commit sin, and they act like God can't see it, but God sees everything. How is it that people can believe that the God who created eyes can't see, and the God that made ears can't hear? So they make this mistake as if what they do behind closed doors in secret or in the dark, God can't see it or God can't hear it. But what's done in the dark, it's the same as in the light with God. The Bible says the day and night are the same with him. So anyway, he was there, and he would not have sex with her. And so she created a lie. She concocted a lie and said that he had attacked her and that he had come on to her and tried to have sex. And he ran getting away from her, and she grabbed his jacket and tore it. So she had his jacket in her hand, and that was supposedly her proof. But it was a lie. It was a lie from the pit of hell. But let me tell you something. People will do things to, when they see that you really walk with God, they will do things to set you up, to try to bring you down. But the scripture says, if God be for you, who can be against you? He's more than the whole world against you. We have to know that there are more with us than there are with them. And my Bible says, no weapon formed against us is going to prosper. It didn't say the weapon wouldn't form, but it said it won't prosper. So Joseph ended up, Potiphar put him in prison. And so Joseph ended up in prison. But while he was in prison, the favor of God was on him, and the prisoners turned the prison over to Joseph. And Joseph, he was the accountant in prison. He kept charge of everything. He kept all the records straight. He did all the work. God was with him even in prison. My God, we serve a mighty God. And so then he had a dream. He had a dream about a baker and the butler. And so he told this the butler, he said, when you get out, well, the baker, he interpreted his dream, and the baker got killed, but the butler was restored back to the palace. And he told him, he said, now, when you get out, don't forget me. You know, when people do something kind for you, don't forget them. Don't act like you brand new and like you don't know them once you get up on your feet. Remember them. The Bible tells us this in Hebrews 6 and 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget our work and labor of love. Now, if God don't forget what we do for him, why should you and I forget and try to get brand new on people and try to act like you don't remember what they did for you? You need to bless people when you get up on your feet. When God blesses you, remember those that helped you get where you are today. So Joseph, the butler forgot about him, and Joseph had to remain in prison 2 more years. But then Pharaoh had a dream, and somebody remembered that Joseph could interpret dreams. And then they called for him, got him out of prison, and took him to Pharaoh, and Joseph told him the meaning of the dream, and Pharaoh promoted him to second in command. And it was Joseph, when there was a famine in Israel, it was Joseph who was already down in Egypt. When his family came to Egypt to buy food, it was Joseph that provided for them. And eventually Joseph moved his whole family down there, and they brought his father, and his father saw him and he wept. And Joseph forgave his brothers. He did not hold against them. They said, maybe when our father dies, you're going to get us back. You're going to pay us back. And Joseph said, am I in the place of God? He said, what you did, you did it for evil, but God meant it that much people might be saved alive. That's Genesis chapter 50 and verse 20. And so I said all that to say that God will allow some things to happen in your life because he knows what he is doing, and God knows how to get you to your divine destiny. God knows how to get you back on track. Glory be to God. You know, the God that we serve, he has unlimited power. God's got you, and he will not be denied. He will get you to the place that he wants you to be. So don't be discouraged. God is right on time. If God has to move heaven and earth to get you to your divine destiny, he will do it, even if he has to move somebody out of your way. The Bible says he sets up kings and he removes kings. Our God is bigger. Hallelujah. Our God is bigger. God's power is greater than any power. It is unlimited. Don't underestimate God's mighty power or his great love for you. God can and he will move mountains, part seas, walk across water, shut the mouths of lions, whatever it takes to accomplish his will. Nothing and no one can stop God. Glory be to God. Every promise that God has made concerning you will be fulfilled. You won't even die until God gets finished getting the glory out of your life. Don't you worry and don't you fret. God has never lost a case. Glory be to God. He will get you back on track. And what the devil meant for evil, God will turn it around for your good and for his glory. You see, God's going to get the glory out of your life. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. God will be glorified in you. It doesn't matter what it looks like. God's got you. You may fall, but you won't fail. God's plan is the masterpiece, and he is the master of the masterpiece. Glory be to God. You know, when we look at Saul and Paul, how Samson even killed 3,000 in his death. You know, it looked like Samson was a utter failure. You know, they cut off his hair and they blinded him and they bound him and put him in the prison, and he did grind in the prison. But then they called him out one day and they, hey, glory be to God. They wanted to use him for entertainment. Glory, hallelujah. And then while he was there, he told God, he said, don't, just give me one last chance. Glory be to God. And Samson killed more in that arena that day than he had done throughout his life. He killed more of the enemies of God. They were there and they were making sport and they wanted him to, embarrass him and ridicule him and show that they had a mighty man of God and what they had done to him. But God gave him strength one last time and he used it against the enemies of God's people, and God was glorified. The disciples fled, but God still used them. And he accomplished his will through them. On Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. Peter preached the first message. I'm talking about Peter, impetuous Peter. I'm talking about Peter who denied Jesus Christ. I'm talking about Peter who cut off the man's ear with his sword. I'm talking about Peter who was afraid and ran for his life. Hallelujah. But Peter, on the day of Pentecost, when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, Peter preached the first message. And it was such a powerful message. It brought conviction. And 3,000 souls were added. You see, Peter was under new management. Peter was a changed man. Peter was under the power of the Holy Ghost. And that's what needs to happen. People are trying to do work for God without the Spirit of God. We need the Holy Ghost. He said, behold, I give unto you power, power to tread on serpents and scorpions, power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm us. Now, that word power means two things. One of them means exousia, which is authority. The other means dunamis, which means dynamite. So he's given us explosive authority. He's given us authority and explosive power. Glory be to God. And if you are born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you got more power than you think you got. Hallelujah. More than you know. Glory be to God. You see, Jesus told the disciples before he ascended in Acts chapter 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So many times people want to be used by God, but they start out, they want to start out the top. They want to go to the uttermost part of the earth before they have even done any witnessing in their own neighborhood, before they've even witnessed to family members, before they have done anything right there in their city. They're ready to go on foreign soil. Glory be to God. But that's not the proper order. He said you would be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, which is your local area, then in all Judea, which is maybe your region or state, then in Samaria, which is throughout your country, and then unto the uttermost parts of the earth. If you haven't witnessed in your neighborhood yet, you should not be trying to go out into the uttermost part of the earth yet. You've had no training. You're not equipped. Glory be to God. But he gave them power, of the power of the Holy Ghost. And this happened. He gave this power to the church on the day of Pentecost. Now, I don't know why some churches are not embracing the Holy Ghost, but I'm telling you something. They are missing the power. They have a form of godliness, but no power thereof. Power to cast out demons. Power over unclean spirits. Power to bind and loose. That is the power that God has given us. And it's just like having electricity. You say, well, yeah, I had the lights turned on, but you never flipped the switch. You need to turn the power on and use what God has given us, because the scripture tells us, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. See, we don't cuss people out no more. We don't bust people upside the head no more. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Glory be to God. And everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. So many people, I hear them pray, and they never bind up the enemy. The scripture says, whatsoever you bind in the earth will be bound in heaven. If you know you're going into a situation and it's not going to be a good situation, you need to bind up unclean spirits. Maybe there's a spirit of contention where you're going. Maybe there's a spirit of strife, or maybe there's a spirit of jealousy and envy. Bind it up. Bind those things up even before you go. Glory be to God. And then loose love and joy and peace. Hallelujah. Loose gentleness and meekness. Loose the fruit of the Spirit. Glory be to God. But we're not many people are doing that. I hear people pray, but I don't hear people binding and loosing. And we need to exercise the authority that God has given us. So I just wanted to share this message with you tonight so that you would know that God will get you back on track. You know, there's a young man in my church, and he's fallen. So I prayed about it, and you know, I've talked to him several times. I knew what was going on. God was showing. But one thing I will say for him, that he would never lie to me. If I asked him a question, he would always tell me. And so one day he had some struggles, and he came to me of his own accord, and he began to tell me, you know, what was going on. And so I told him, I said, well, you know, you're going to have to sit down. And he understood that. He understood that he could not walk in a position of authority and still be in sin, that he like he was. And so he surrendered his position and will be restored when he is delivered. But right now, he's still going through that process. And so I hadn't heard from him in a few days. When he wasn't answering my calls, I would check on him, and he wasn't returning them. So I just dropped in one day. I went by to check on him. And, you know, I'm going to say this to the pastors. Pastors, if you have sheep and God has entrusted you to be over the flock, you're going to have to get out of your comfort zone and go and check on the missing sheep. Now, a lot of times people say, well, I ain't going nowhere to look for them, but you're going to have to. That's part of being a shepherd. The shepherd will go and look for the sheep. It's the hireling that will flee when the wolf comes. So I went and saw him, and he said he just wasn't getting my calls. They weren't coming through, and we rectified that today. But anyway, my point is that pastors, you do have to do more than preach in that pulpit. You've got to go check on the sheep and make sure the sheep are okay. And just let them know that you love them and let them know that God will get them back on track. God will restore them. Your job is to watch over them and to, you know, feed them and God and pray for them. Pray for them. God will get them back on track. Apostle, come on in. I hear you. I know you got something you want to share.
Oh, yes, I do. First, I support with everything you're saying, sister. You brothers and sisters out there, please listen to me. If you can get a personal relationship with the Lord, and if you would fast 3 days a week, sanctify yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to lead you into truth, get the 9 gifts of the spirits where you can see in the spirits, you can see straight through your pastor.
Amen.
They want the money.
Amen, Apostle.
They want the money. That's wonderful, you saying. Some of these pastors, they care about the things Sister Taylor saying. That's what a pastor's duty. A pastor ain't supposed to control you. Well, you need to come see me before you leave and have a meeting. Then he called his secretary. How much tithes is this person tithing? Oh, Dr. Brown, they tithe about $1,500 a week. Bring them to my office and get them a position. And let me try to get them to stay here. Yes, yes, brother. I just want to let you know that you've just been a good parishioner. And we have a position for you, and now he stays and he's stuck. Now he done got his money. That's what they're all about.
Uh-huh. That's exactly right. And they're not even concerned about their soul. They don't even know if the brother is living in sin. They're not even concerned about them.
They don't care. And God says he'll send you pastors after his own heart. But if the human beings don't study the Bible, this is why they're following all this foolishness. 88.7% of people who listen to T.D. Jakes don't even read the Bible.
They don't have to. He gives them motivational speeches.
And see, this ain't teaching. Yeah, the Bible says preach in season and out of season.
That's exactly right.
Better than love. And they don't want to do that.
That's exactly right. And they're not preaching holiness and righteousness.
No.
We got to remember, the Bible says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? He that have clean hands and a pure heart.
Yep.
They're not preaching
this. And it's a shaking in the church. I want to tell everybody.
Yes, it is.
That was a brother. It's a shaking. The trees are shaking. God is removing those who are not real true pastors. I want to give this testimony of a deliverance minister that I know. I have to protect his name because he's a professional dentist, and he practiced dentistry. And I also know an open-heart surgeon who was a former Satanist, and she works with me. And the brother called me, and I'm going to get the video, Sister Taylor. I'm trying to get video. Mm-hmm. I do have a lot of videos of live exorcisms, seeing people levitating. I am going through the courts because of the people who made an agreement with me, they signed the agreement that I can video. Now they don't want me to do it, so I'm dealing with some legal parties where people can see, they can see this in operation. And this pastor told me, brother, I never saw this in my life, his daughter, a Baptist pastor in the state of Washington State, that's all I can say, because I have to protect the identity of my brother that does
that. Right.
And the pastor said, who's this here? He said, I'm a dentist. What you doing? You don't know nothing about no Jesus. You're a dentist. He said, no, I'm a servant of the Lord. I'm an exorcist. I do exorcism. And the pressure got on him, Sister Taylor, the parishioner, said, well, you our pastor. How come you got to get somebody outside? My wife called. Wait a minute. I can do this. I don't need him. That man said, sir, have you ever heard of the sons of Sceva? Now, you know that's in Acts chapter 19, right?
That's right.
He didn't even know what that was. So he go get his robe on. Now, you know, Sister Taylor, the Bible says false testimonies. I go to hell if I make a false testimony.
That's right.
I am not going to hell and lie for nobody. This happens.
Amen. Amen.
So he says, sir, you're not qualified to cast these. You don't even have the Holy Spirit. My parishioners need me. I'm the leader. That pride got in them. He walked up to that demon manifested and lifted up in the air, and he said, in the name of Jesus, I'm Dr. Leroy. He said, shut up. Shut that F up. I know you very well. And sister, they was in the church with the cameras. Do you know that the video came on of him with all sexual acts?
Wow.
The devil exposed him. All sexual acts. The devil exposed them. Wait a minute now. So he commanded them to come out. He said, I'm finna show you that you ain't got no power. In the name of Jesus, this happened. Oh, the window opened. Around the corner was Home Depot. Boards levitated through the air. Everybody saw it go in the house. And they seemed like an iron fist just hit it into the ground, put it in the ground. And took that preacher and flipped him upside down and nailed him to the cross and turned it upside down.
Wow.
Yes, he did. After he did it, he took the nails off. He said, you need to start getting on your knees because I'm going to let everybody know about these homosexual affairs. Yeah, I'll do what you say, dude. Baby diapers came out downstairs there with the lady. And she defecated and told him, eat it, you great nothing. Walking around the corner, the demon says, when you come back, I want to see bone on your knees, boy, bone. You don't have no authority to cast. Only the Son of God can cast out and those who follow him.
So,
wait a minute now. Watch this. So I told him, he said, please don't do this. That demon said, okay, well, let me just go and show this homosexuality video. He had to crawl around the corners of his house four times. The police was, hey, man, what's wrong with you? I'm doing fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. And he came back upstairs with bones on his knee. These demons ain't playing with these men who mess around talking about they serving God, and they're not.
You cannot play with God.
Yes. Mm-mm. You can't play with them, and you can't act like you're a Christian. See, that's wearing out. You see, the Lord moving on me, Sister Taylor, similar to a served sermon of yours. Christians don't know any power of the Lord Jesus. They don't know it. And if they're sitting under a pastor that does not teach casting out demons, that does not teach the nine gifts of the Spirit, the Sabbath, forgiveness, reconciliation, sanctification, and holiness, which I ain't heard a sermon in holiness in years. Only sermon I got in holiness is Derek Prince. It's pitiful.
Apostle, I had someone call me the other day. I think it was Tuesday.
Hang on, Sister Taylor. You got somebody.
Okay.
Sister Taylor, you got somebody in the chat room wants to say something to you. Hang on. She says, my daughter has a AC spirit. She just ripped a page out of the Bible because she hates God. Lord have mercy, Jesus. ma'am, what can we do for you? If you can respond back, it would be nice if you could call in where we can hear you, if you can, ma'am. Antichrist spirit. And
yeah,
that's going on now. Another thing I want to say that God moved on my heart is, Sister Taylor, you can see a lot of Christians are leaning toward politics and trying to mix that with the Lord. You can't do that.
No, you can't.
You can't do that.
No, you can't.
Jesus says, be ye holy, therefore that I am holy. He didn't say, be ye Republican, be ye Democrat.
No.
He ain't even said it. We have enough trouble
just trying to be Christians. We don't have time to be something else. Be what God called us to be. If you be a good Christian, then you're doing enough.
Hang on.
I had a woman call me the other day.
Wait a minute. This lady wants to talk to you. I'm trying to get. Wait a minute, Sister Taylor.
Okay.
Somebody wants to talk to you. Ma'am, this is how you call in. You dial this number. The number is area code 646-378-1857. Call in and hit option number 1, and you can come in and we can see your number. So me and Mrs. Taylor, we're here for you. We can pray and we can hear you and talk to you and allow the Spirit of God to move through the advances. This is her night. This is the spiritual authority that she has. I'm under her authority tonight because I release all the time for her. This is her time to represent the Lord. I'm just supporting her. So please call in 646-378-1857. Okay, 1 minute. Thanks, you. Yes, ma'am. Please call in. Evangelist Janice Taylor is here to assist everybody. She's a friend of mine. We work together in the ministry. This is her night. This is not my night. She has the authority to run this night. I'm just supporting her. Please call again, area code 646-378-1857. We're looking forward to hearing from you when you call in. Go ahead, Mr. Evander.
There was a girl called me the other day, said she don't believe in deliverance. She said you get it all when you accept Jesus Christ. She said she don't see nowhere in the Bible the deliverance ministry. I said Jesus himself said it in Isaiah 6:1. And Luke 4:18, I said, then the disciples prayed in Matthew 6 and said, deliver us from evil. She said, but that all comes with salvation.
Yeah, that's how they messed up. They messed up out here.
Yep.
And you know who got it messed up? The church.
These preachers? Listen what the word of God says. In Ezekiel 34, it says, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, woe be to the shepherds that feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with wool. Ye kill them that are fed, and feed not my flock.
Lord, have mercy, Jesus. Okay, can you give me a number again? Sorry, hang on. She's supposed to need a number again. Okay, ma'am, here's the number. 646-378-1857. When you dial in, hit option 1. You can come into the room. Evangelist Taylor, can I share something with you? Do you mind?
Yes.
Before I was saved, I had knew the Lord but backslid it, and I was in a backslid phase in the 90s. And I used to date this, not trying to be facetious or to tell who it was, but she was an Atlanta Falcon cheerleader. She happened to wind up being, we was friends, we dated and all of this anyway. And back then, I was a gangster and I was selling cocaine. And she was dating me because of the money I had, and I was dating her because she was real dark and black and sexy in the flesh, everybody in the flesh. But she carried me to a church with her grandmother. And now, I didn't even know the Lord. I knew him, Evangelist Taylor, but I dripped away from him. I didn't know the scriptures. I didn't really commit myself. Okay, we got her in. She's in the room. Okay, she's in the room. Hang tight, ma'am. When I give this testimony, we're going to give you the mic for Sister Evangelist Janice Taylor. We'll speak to you. We got you in the room. And I went, Sister Evangelist Taylor, I was under Wayne Thompson for about 6 months and backslid. You know, I just got out of the military, PTSD, just invaded Grenada. This is crazy as business, but selling cocaine, making about $5,000-$6,000 a night. I paid $20,000 for a gold AK-47, just the trimmings gold, stupidity. Anyway, we went to the church, and they had Pastor's Appreciation Day. And the Lord brought this to my attention when I got saved. The preacher was standing in front, and they had caviar, shrimp, lobster tails, steak, lamb chops. Oh, man. Aquas Convan, Chapa Susis from Italy. Oh, it was nice, marvelous, great. And then they had another table with just chicken and rice and peas, they said, at that table. And all the pastors and the doctors came in, and he wanted to pray. Before we pray, does anybody have anything to say? I said, yeah, I do. I went outside. My girlfriend said, please don't go get that AK-47. Don't go do it. I walked. I was a gangster because I didn't care about going to jail or nothing then. I'd been in jail about 8-9 times. So I got him. I said, give me this AK. I called some gangsters outside. I said, hey, man, y'all need to cover me because this man, I ain't going to let this man take these wimpy people money. I walked there with that AK. I said, hey, man. He said, hi. Everybody said, y'all stand down. Don't run out of here. I ain't going to kill nobody but this one right up here. Hey, what's your problem with you eating? I didn't know the Lord, but I was trying to defend the Lord. You eating all this, and you got these older women, older than you, they sitting in the back eating chicken and rice. Nigga, get up off that table. Give me the oldest mom. Mama, get on up there and eat you some crabs and lobsters. I said, nigga, get back. I pulled a gun on him. Get your ass and sit down here. I sure did it. In the name of Jesus, forgive me. I did it. And then I put my girlfriend said, I'm with you, but put that AK up. I said, okay, go put the AK up in the car. I pulled out my Desert Eagle 45 right in his head. Said, all that money you collected, give it to me. I gave it to every poor person in that church. I said, now you can press charges on me, call the police now. I did 6 months in jail for that. It was worth it.
I don't blame you.
I didn't even know the Lord.
They've been robbing people in the name of the Lord for a long time. They've been robbing people on Social Security and people on Medicare, people on a fixed income. They've been robbing them for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And God's tired of it. God's tired of his people going, giving to these congregations and Pastor's Appreciation Day and Anniversary Day and all these formalities to gain money, sacrificial offering. That is nowhere in the Bible. Okay, we got this. Nowhere in the scripture. And her name is Walk in the Truth, and let us come on the air. All right. Good afternoon, Walk in the Truth. How you doing? Can you hear me, ma'am?
Yes, I can hear you. Thank you so much for taking my call.
Okay.
Praise
you
the Lord,
now
sister.
Have the mic. You have the mic with Evangelist Taylor. Go ahead, Janice.
Okay. Praise the Lord, my sister. Thank you for calling in tonight. I pray that you enjoyed the broadcast tonight. How can we help you?
Well, I have a problem with my daughter. She has autism. She's 28. She has high-functioning autism. And since she was little, she used to see spirits. So she has borderline personality disorder and bipolar. And it's just like the paranoia is really bad. But she also has a hatred for God. And for me, because I follow God. And today she took a Bible and ripped out a page of it and just left it on our bed. So I was like, and I've been praying for her, hoping that she could stay in her house and 'cause we care for her. But it's hard. It's very hard.
She lives with you?
Yeah, she lives with us.
How old is she?
28.
All right, let me give you some words of encouragement real quick. Chaplain John Durden, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
I hope so. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, she's going through the same situation you're going through. We have a brother in Christ going through the same thing. Chaplain Durden, she can hear you.
Yeah.
Can you explain to Chaplain Durden again what happened? Hello?
I'm right here.
Ma'am?
Oh, you want me to explain? I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to him. Yes. Okay,
no,
so...
I want you to explain to him because he's going through the same situation. And I just want you to know that you're not alone. And then I'm going to get you back to Ms. Taylor, and we're going to deal with it spiritually. Brother John, you can help her. Let her listen to this, Brother John. Go ahead, ma'am.
My daughter's 28 years old. She's suffering from borderline personality disorder and autism, amongst other things, cutting. And today she took a Bible and ripped out a page and threw it on her bed. And she hates God. She told me she hates God. She hates me. And we've been trying to help her. We had a guardianship for 10 years, which is now dissolved. But I don't know what else to do. I pray for her every day. I don't know. We were binding spirits and whatever seemed like they were manifesting after that. I just don't know what else, how to handle this.
First of all, let me ask you, ma'am, are you filled with the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I am.
Okay. You have the evidence of speaking in tongues?
Yes, I do.
Amen.
Now,
go ahead,
that's
Chaplain.
A good thing. Now, ma'am, okay, ma'am, please listen to me. If you would pray in tongues, the minute she starts acting like that, does she talk to herself?
She talks to not just herself, but to things that are not there. And she,
okay,
if I speak in tongues,
demons.
Yes,
uh-huh.
she's been seeing them since she was little.
Okay, you're going to when she's talk, you go right in tongues and battle that thing. Every day you tell that spirit, you are not destroying my daughter, and you got to keep fighting. Now, the battles are going to be hard because there's a lot of rebellion and root demons so rooted in her because of the schizophrenic formations of demons in her soul got her to hate God. Chaplain Durden has a similar situation, if he didn't mind. But John, you want to give us some words of encouragement on that? I don't think he's on the phone. Brother John.
Well, hello. Excuse me. the dog was trying to run out the door. I heard you, but when I went to response, I had to catch the dog before he ran outside because the screen door was left open. Yeah, I had a similar problem with the same issues, you know, kind of a thing. And being with Brother Emmett, what we all have to do when it happens, we have to pray in tongues constantly. We have to look for signs. And what I've done was when they manifest, then that's the time you're really going. That's the time you go into, you know, and speaking in tongues and let the Holy Spirit intercede. Then too, you also got to fast too, because you can't give any instruction to any demons if you're not doing what you're supposed to do. And by that I mean, you got to fast, pray in tongues constantly, you know, and just leave that mind alone and listen for the Holy Spirit to tell you what to do. And it's not a quick trick thing. It takes time. But being constant and praying, so that's what I do. I pray constantly, you know, in tongues, and then I minister when I can. And then if there's a time when you can, then you have to call the appropriate authority, you know, because I remember when I went through that, I had to write down things, you know, and I felt led of the Holy Spirit, and I had to write things down. Like I said, well, she has a mental health situation. She's paranoid. She's schizophrenic. She refuses to take her medication.
That's right.
And what blew my mind was, one day I went downstairs to put my clothes in the washing machine, and when I opened up the washing machine, guess what was in the washing machine, all soaking wet? The Bible.
Wow.
I was, no lie. And then one time in my absence, her mother said, guess what she did, John? I said, what? And she said, come on, look. Because I was out of town. I'm going to take a picture. She took a picture. It showed where she took the Bible and stripped the Bible all in pieces and everything else. And
she used to believe in God, my daughter. She used to believe in God, mm-hmm. but we had a bad accident, and I'm kind of disabled with pain. And she said that she would pray to have me healed, and it never happened. So
she
got angry with God.
She got mad at God. Yes. She got angry with God.
Yes. And I believe there's a generational curse because my brother has schizophrenia. My mother's half-sister stabbed her father but didn't kill him, but it's in the family line.
Ma'am,
so.
I broke the curse of schizophrenia. Sister Durden, my assistant, revealed to me 14 years ago when I got in this ministry, the Lord told me, we got to clean you up. I said, who's we? God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost. And the Lord began to use Sister Durden to minister to me because she saw it. I got delivered from schizophrenia, and still I'm in the ministry. And every Friday I do a renunciation of all schizophrenic spirits. Don't come into me. You have to be aware. But it's a combination of two souls tied together, double-minded. James 4:7 and James 1:8 speaks of and wavering. When a person has those types of degrees of spirits, it causes confusion to her. And when they talk to her, they're telling her to hate you. And she believes that because, they're telling her to hate you, disrespect you, not listen to you. They are you're dealing with the spirit of rebellion, antichrist spirit, spirit of hate, and what's that other one?
Stubbornness.
Spirit of, yes.
Iniquity.
And that's witchcraft. Yes. So what you got?
Rebellion, witchcraft. Yes.
That's right. Whenever she go out of her room, get you some water with a spray bottle and put some salt in it and shake it. Salt represents the earth, and pray over that water and make it holy. And when you have her go to the mall or she out that room, spray it till y'all get out of here. And when she come back in there, she ain't gonna know what you did. And I guarantee you, it can suppress it. But you have to pray in tongues. You got to pray in tongues. That's your connection.
Yes.
I agree with that. Yes.
And
she does
also,
not
ahead,
like me praying.
Also, I had
go
encountered a grandmother. She told me she had a daughter who practiced witchcraft and was bringing up the daughter's daughter, her granddaughter, in it. And this little girl was 10 years old and already knew how to fly on a broom. And so she said that this particular weekend, she said the daughter had to go out of town and she needed her to keep the kids. She said, I don't want my granddaughter here, but she said, my daughter has a situation where she has to go out of town. So I told her, I said, I tell you what you do. I said, I want you to get you some worship music. I'm not talking about this contemporary. I said, get you some worship music with them old sacred hymns. I said, and play it the entire weekend that your granddaughter is in your house. I said, and pray in tongues the entire weekend. Every time you think, I said, pray in tongues. Do you know that little girl stayed at her house that weekend and did not manifest at all the entire
That's
weekend?
The power.
So you got to keep,
That's
you got to keep that worship music. You got to keep that worship music playing in your house, because when that worship music is going, demons can't manifest in that. They cannot manifest
like
with the praise. Yeah, you got to keep that worship music going. And like the apostle said, when she leaves the house to go somewhere, go in that room and just pray in tongues. Pray in tongues repeatedly. Just pray in tongues, and the Holy Spirit will pray through you. He will pray through you, and you are going to have to do some fasting.
I go in her room and pray, and I also anoint it with oil. And then one time, she says to my husband and I, like, somebody blessed my room. The demons told me.
Yes, she could
feel it.
So that means it worked.
The demons told her somebody anointed her room?
Yes.
That was a familiar spirit.
So you need to come up against
a familiar spirit.
Yes.
She had all sorts of imaginary friends, like spirits that she talked to in like first grade, kindergarten. She was starting to see them. When she was a baby, she was seeing things flying around her room. I thought she was just, you know, pretending. She's been in connection with a lot of things. I don't know whether they connected to her or she summons them. I don't know. I don't know if she was born with this. But we've seen things like crazy in her house. Also, she has
Where do you live, ma'am?
I live in New York. But I found a book of witchcraft that she was actually like making herself with symbols. So, and things, and she actually in the book states what she did, what manifested, what she got. I don't know if it was her mind because she's delusional or if it actually happened. So I don't know. But I've seen a lot of strange things in this house.
What did you do with that book?
Yeah, go ahead, Sister Ava. Go ahead.
What did you do with that book? You need to destroy it.
I don't remember. That was like 10 years ago. Okay.
Okay. If you find it, burn it. That's in the Bible.
Okay.
Yeah.
If I can find it again. Yeah, because her room is like, she's like a hoarder. She has all this whole room filled with garbage and things. And
okay.
I don't know what I'm going to do about that, but.
We're going to do something about it right now because Janice has the same anointing that I got. We both one in Christ.
Amen.
Do you have your,
Amen.
Can you put your speakerphone on? Don't let your daughter hear it. We just want you to hear Evangelist Taylor's voice through your speaker so she can speak to them spirits in her house.
Okay.
And command them to get out of that house.
Okay, I'll do that right now.
Okay. All right, turn on your speaker, and then when Evangelist Taylor, she's through, get it back on, we can talk. You got it,
okay.
Evangelist.
It's on speaker.
In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we rebuke every unclean spirit. We rebuke this Satan. We command the spirit of schizophrenia to come out in the name of Jesus. We command every delusional spirit, every evil spirit in Jesus' name to come out in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of hatred, we bind it right now in the name of Jesus. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. We cast out witchcraft. We cast out every spirit, every unclean spirit in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We take authority over these unclean spirits that's tormenting this girl. We cut out. We cast out every demon, every witch, every warlock. We cast it out in the name of Jesus. We command you to come out by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We command you to flee in Jesus' name. We take authority over this house. We take authority over this young girl. We take authority over this situation. And we command you to flee right now in Jesus' name. We command you, witches, to loose her in the name of Jesus. Every unclean spirit, you foul demon of hatred. You unclean familiar spirit, you spirit of deception, we command you to flee right now in the name of Jesus. We cast you out in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, we ask you. Holy Spirit, we ask you to fill this young lady. Fill her with your spirit, God. Fill her with your spirit. Save her, God. Fill that home. Let the anointing of God fill that home. Oh, I hear the Lord saying the television. Those spirits are coming through the television. Cut the TV off. Get that TV out of her room. Get it out of there. Get that television out of there. Purge that house, ma'am. You need to purge that house. You need to go through that room. Go through your daughter's room. You don't even know what's in your house. You don't even know what's in her room. Get out everything that's in her room that pertains to witchcraft. Get it out of there. In the name of Jesus, get it out of there. You and your husband, you got to go through that room. Go through that room and get out everything that pertains to witchcraft. In the those unclean spirits have got to open the windows. Open the windows in her room. Open the windows in her room.
She's trying to stop me from opening the windows.
Here's what you do, ma'am.
When she's not there, you do this.
That's right.
She's not there.
Okay.
Right.
It's your house. It's your house. When she's not there, this is what you do.
Yeah, she's trying to take over my house like my brother
but
did.
You got to clean it. It's your house. You got to take responsibility
right. And
purge your house. So when she doesn't stay there all 24 hours, when she leaves to go to an appointment or anything, you go in that room and begin to search and clean out everything that is pertaining to witchcraft and ungodliness. Get it out of your house.
Mm-hmm.
Those unclean spirits are attracted to it. And they will stay. That's right.
They will. And they bring in other evil spirits. Ma'am, the Lord told me in my heart to share something with you. He wants to speak to you. He's going to speak to you. But can you do me a favor?
Yes.
In the spirit, listen to this. When I get through with this song, the Lord's got word of knowledge for you.
Oh,
listen to Evangelist
Taylor.
You got some word of knowledge coming. No, don't you thank me. Say thank Jesus. Thank the Lord.
Jesus, thank you, Father. Thank you.
That's right. I'm not worthy. No, ma'am. Thank the Lord. I'm just a servant.
Amen.
Amen. No, don't thank me, please. What I'm going to do, you listen to Evangelist Taylor. After she leaves now, don't forget to spray that water with holy water. You're going to win this battle. I'm going to give you my number so when you get in some need of help, you can call me. This ain't Creflo Dollars Ministry. We don't charge nobody nothing. We're called to do this. We ain't about hiring and paying and all of that. We ain't into that. So here's what I want you to do. Can you concentrate on this song? Because after it's over, the Lord is going to give me some word of knowledge for you, but I want you to get in the spirit. Amen?
Yes, I will. Thank you.
Before creation, before the world began, from earth's foundation, Yeshua the Lamb, our transgressor. Among the children of man, an intercessor, Yeshua the Lamb.
Oh, Yeshua, I love you. I worship you and adore you. Bruised for iniquity.
Evangelist Janice Taylor, are you here?
Yes, Apostle.
I need you to pray in tongues, and I need to interpret. She needs a rhema word for exhortation, for comfort. She has been going through a lot. She's stressed. It's wearing her out. I need you to speak in tongues so I can interpret it. Ma'am, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Repeat this after me. Heavenly Father.
Heavenly Father.
I speak on behalf of my daughter.
I speak on behalf of my daughter.
I now move into proxy.
I'm now moving to proxy.
I break every curse of witchcraft.
I break every curse of witchcraft.
On her father's side.
And her father's side.
On her mother's side.
On her mother's side.
I break all curses of schizophrenia.
I break all curses of schizophrenia.
On her mother's side.
On mother's side.
And on her father's side.
And on the father's side.
I break the curse of rebellion.
I break the curse of rebellion.
I break the curse of Antichrist spirits.
I break the curse of Antichrist spirits.
I break the curse of any demonic force that hates the word of God.
I break any demonic force that hates the word of God.
I come up against Baal Gupitus. He's a demonic spirit, ma'am. Just pronounce, I've seen him before. I'm a demonologist. Just
okay,
trust
yes.
the Lord. I come up.
How do
I
pronounce that? I'm sorry.
Gal Gupitus.
Okay.
Gal Gupitus.
Okay. Could you just repeat what I have to say again? I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am. I come up against the demonic prince Gal Gupitus.
I come up against the demonic prince Galupolis.
In the name of Yeshua the Messiah.
In the name of Yeshua the Messiah.
Now, the Lord has told me you have broke the curse. You need restoring. You've been worrying. You've been stressed. Is this the Holy Spirit?
Yes. Pain.
And the
a lot
Lord
of pain.
Told, yes. Not a pain, mental anguish. Lack of sleep, irritability, in the name of Jesus, did the Holy Spirit tell me the right things concerning you?
Yes.
Now, since the Holy Spirit has confirmed it wasn't me, Luke 12:11 says, do not worry about what you're going to say or how that you're going to say it, that the Holy Ghost shall teach you at that hour. That's what the Holy Ghost gave me. Now, we're going to come up against these spirits because you need to be nourished to battle. This and the devil will try to weigh you down. You have responsibilities as a mother. You got to be a wife. There's a lot on you, and what the devil wants to do is to use that to put more on you. Do you agree that that comes from the Lord?
Yes, amen.
Okay, now he's going to give you a protection against these spirits. It's in Job 1:9. Somebody, can, Brother John, you got a Bible? He got one next to him. Evangelist Taylor, where's Job 1? Okay, Job 1:9-10. Okay.
I got it. Hold on. I got it. Job 1:9-10. All right, I'm right there. Then Job 1:9-10 says, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land.
In the name of Jesus, we speak that same protection on my sister. Now we speak it into existence. We speak a spoken rhema word now that the hedge of protection will be around her. Now, Father, we ask that you give her peace. You spirits that's trying to drain her from peace, leave. Now, ma'am, the Lord told me you need some deliverance because they're pressing you. I just want you to blow. That's all you got to do. Just, you ain't got to blow loud. Just close your eyes and believe that these spirits are coming out. If you feel any bumps, those are spirits. If not, you may feel air stopping and going as you're blowing. Don't pay no attention to that. Believe that these spirits are coming out. Now, the Lord has told me that you got to do something after this. You have to, evangelist, the Lord has told me she got to read the word.
Amen.
I study the word, so yes, I read
good.
It.
Good. Okay, so that means you can maintain your deliverance. All right, let's get you free from some stuff through what you're going through at home. I'm going to command the Lord's going to command the spirits, and you follow the Lord. He's just going to use my voice. I'm just an errand boy. Is that okay?
Yes, that's fine.
Okay. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, spirit of stress, leave her now. Anguish, go. Worrying, go. No sleep, go. Lack of sleep, lack of rest. Spiritual tiredness against these demons. Spiritual tiredness. Come on out. Spiritual tiredness. Love concerning her daughter and the pain that the devil's trying to make her go through. That's her child, Satan, Daimonion. Prince of darkness. I rebuke you in the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Go away from her. In the name of Jesus, unrest spirits. Come on out. Spirits that's causing her to have unrest through this situation. Come out. I'm hearing a word of knowledge. Evangelist Taylor, I'm hearing Galatians 5:1. Galatians 5:1.
All right, I'm there. Galatians 5:1. Here we go. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage.
I'm hearing Matthew 11:28.
Matthew 11:28. Here we go. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. You demonic spirits that's been associated to attack her, we command that you leave her now. Now blow it out, ma'am. Just start blowing. Every spirit that blocks her peace, according to Matthew 11:28, get out. Get out of her. You can call for however the Holy Spirit have you to do it. Just get it out. Come on out. Come on out. Come out. Come out of her right now. Come out. Come on out. Restlessness. Come on out. Restlessness. Come out. Worrying. Stress about her daughter. Come on out. Come on out. Get off of finances. Get off of her finances. Get away from her finances. Go. Don't even start there. Go. Go. Father, we pray for her husband in the name of Jesus that he has rest and understanding. Ma'am, the Lord is telling me you know more of the word than he do.
Yes, that's true.
Father, give her the wisdom to teach her husband through example. Father God, in the name of Jesus, restore him. Give him a desire to study the word. He is the head of the house. He's the prophet, priest, and king. Father, we pray that we put him in proper position to stand up against the foes of the enemy in this spiritual warfare with his daughter. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth, we pray. Amen. And he just left me, everybody. He's gone.
And praise God.
Sister, the Lord bless you tonight.
Thank you so much.
Evangelist Taylor. The Lord move tonight, Evangelist Taylor. The Lord move tonight.
Yes, he did.
Let's praise him. Let's praise him. I want to praise him. I don't even want to stop.
Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. We give you praise.
Let's praise
his
name.
We praise
him.
Glory, hallelujah.
I will live and not die. For every need there is supply. For the Savior says, just ask, just ask. Believe that you receive. You ask the impossible. Won't you do it? Somebody say yes, it will. Oh, yes,
it will. Oh,
yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
King of kings, Lord of lords, Lord of lords, Lord of lords.
To being free. If you need that mountain, see if it seems to hurt for you, just believe that he wants you to do what seems impossible for you right now. Just say yes, yes it will, oh yes, oh yes it will. Right now, can you save me? I believe you'll bless me. Oh, lift your hands and say,
I believe you'll
touch me. Yeah, I believe. Yes, they will. believe only and do not doubt. If fear moves in, evict it out. For the Lord responds to faith, and He longs to save the day. And if you ask, somebody say yes, He will.
Oh, yes, He will.
I don't know what you're going through, but lift your hands and say yes.
Yeah.
I believe You'll bless me.
He'll touch me
in the time of trouble.
Hallelujah.
Praise
God. I tell you, Van Stater, we had a wonderful evening. God moved tonight, man.
Yes,
the Holy
did.
Spirit moved. He moved.
Yes,
he moved.
Did.
He moved. Before we close, Evangelist Taylor, let everybody know how to get a hold to you and how to bring tithes and offerings to support your sister. She can't do this free. Now, we ain't about money, but you got to send something to the lady. She's an honest, holy woman. It takes money to run a church. This ain't free. This is not free. Yeah, we speak against prosperity. We don't teach people pimping you, come give me $1,000. We didn't say that. Three, two, whatever God gives on your heart. The Bible says, despise not small things. That's all we're saying. So,
amen.
Get this information and support the sister to keep us on air. Go ahead, Evangelist Taylor. Get out. In the name of Jesus,
amen.
Get out this room.
This is Evangelist Janet Taylor.
I'm sorry.
Coming to you live from Walls of Fire Deliverance Ministry International. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 1148, Walkertown, North Carolina, 27051. If you want to PayPal us, you can do it at 336-575-0206 or at jet245@msn.com. This is the Walls of Fire Deliverance, MIN.com. That's www.wallsoffiredeliverancemin.com. That's our web address. May God bless you. May heaven smile on you. And thank you to all of those who tuned in tonight. We thank you for the sister who called in tonight. We thank you for the deliverance. We thank you for everything, Father, in Jesus' holy name.
Well, we had church tonight.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Hey, God bless us, Taylor. Good night, everyone.
God bless you, Apostle.
Yes, ma'am. You too, ma'am.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, ma'am.